You won't catch Greg Kreitzer spending $4 for an organic tomato. He's a guy you might see buying a bag of Mexican mangoes from an L.A. street vendor for a dollar. Kreitzer's a contributor to USA Today and the L.A. Times. He told Steve Paulson he's fed up with the pro-organic agenda of today's celebrity chefs.
Traditionally, the role of the chef really is twofold. One is to comfort, to restore, really the root of the word restaurant is restaure. And the job of the chef was to satisfy. And what I saw was increasingly chefs aren't really interested in that. They're more interested in preaching. There was a speech given by the head of the Culinary Institute, the associate dean of the Culinary Institute, and she proclaimed to her students, it's up to us to share what the right thing is, what it means to buy immature tuna, what it means to buy perfectly looking apples, what it means to purchase food locally and to pay the real cost of growing it. Customers know what they should be growing, and they should be thinking about how the food is grown, packaged, produced, and delivered. And this is someone who's paying for dinner.
But a lot of these chefs that you're going after are, well, they're certainly advocates of the whole organic foods movement and growing local food and buying from local growers. They are also very into tasty food. I mean, they would say that those things go together. You grow local food and you'll get better tasting food.
I'm not saying that they don't have something to say. I'm saying that I think their dogma is misplaced. And that is to say, you know, if someone wants to pay $100 for a meal of organic food and he can afford it, fine. But what the chefs have done have kind of ratcheted up another level. And they have used this, what I call this dogma, organic dogma, whatever you want to call it, to influence public policy. And I give a couple examples in one of the essays I've written recently. There's a movement called the Garden in Schoolyard Movement, really, which was founded by Alice Waters, who was really sort of the head of the organic chefs movement, if you want to call it that. And the notion was that you could bring to inner city schools a gardening class, essentially, show them where food literally comes from, that, you know, it doesn't come from McDonald's, which seems, you know, like a pretty good thing to do.
Sounds like a great idea to me.
Yeah, I think it is. But what's happened is it's become a forum, you know, for what I consider unreasonable and really kind of unsubstantiated claims about organic food. So we have a group in L.A., it works out of a local college called the Urban and Environmental Policy Institute. And what they did was they got some funding from a couple local foundations and from the school board to run a farmer's market salad bar in a couple of inner city public schools. Well, that was great. But then they started telling kids, and this is a quote, that they should prioritize organic. These are relatively low-income kids, kids from working-class families, and that really the only safe, nutritious, and conscionable food to eat is organic. And I find that, you know, tremendously, I mean, not just elitist, but just twisted in a very deep, deep way.
Is it mainly because of the cost? I mean, we all know that buying organic food at the supermarket, at least, is going to cost more than buying lots of packaged food.
Yeah, I think cost is clearly, I mean, you're talking about a price multiple, I think, of at least threefold on a good day, usually four, five, sixfold. But price really isn't the only thing. My feeling is that if you want to propagate, you know, an alternative kind of food agenda, particularly to people who can't afford it, that your science should be pretty strong. And clearly, there's really four claims to organic, particularly as articulated by the chefs. One is that it's more nutritious. Secondly, that it's more tasty. Third, that it's safer. And lastly, that it's environmentally beneficial or at least less harmful than traditional agriculture. Of those four claims, only the last has some science to it. Okay, the notion that it's more nutritious, that it's safer, or that it tastes better, it really has nothing to do with whether or not it's organic or not. It has to do with what time it's picked. And it has to do with the way in which it's picked.
Well, let's talk about the question of safety for a moment, because there's enormous concern about pesticides. And we know that lots of foods, from strawberries to potatoes to all kinds of things, are laced with pesticides when they're grown. I mean, obviously, depending on where they are grown. And a lot of people are talking about problems associated with toxins. And, I mean, I know some
not
of this
scientists.
Is...
Not scientists.
Well,
I mean,
it depends
if you want to
talk
about
on...
dietary residues, Okay, uh-huh. I'm not talking about spraying it on people. I'm talking about dietary residues, which is the principal claim of organics, okay? We don't have any dietary residues on our fruits and vegetables, okay? That's what part of what justifies you paying $4 a pound for tomatoes rather than a dollar, okay? There is no science. There has never been a single case of poisoning from excess dietary residues in 50 years of toxicology. So that, I think, that is one of the great victories of marketing in the organic movement, is to convince people that they should be somehow afraid of dietary residues.
What about the people who've pointed to the higher infertility rates these days and linked them to toxins? I know this is controversial, but it is out there.
Again, I mean, I don't want to beat this dead horse, but you're not talking about dietary residues. You're talking about other ways that chemicals get into and surround our body. In fact, the Center for Disease Control finally released a study on this in which they looked at metabolites in the human body. And I'm sure you know metabolite is what happens to an exposure to a chemical in the bloodstream. So you can tell if Joe has been exposed to chemical A, B, or C. It's not because the chemical is in Joe's body. It's because there is a metabolite of the chemical. And when they conducted these studies, they were surprised, A, that the levels of exposure were far lower than they had ever thought, and B, these are the first baseline data on metabolites of chemicals in the human bloodstream. And this baseline is much lower than anyone had ever thought. This was the first serious scientific study, and as I said, it pointed to much lower levels than anyone had ever thought. Like I say, I spent about 6 months reading the toxicology on this, and if you're talking about paying $4 for an organic tomato because, you know, it doesn't have dietary residues, you're spending a lot of money.
Let me follow up for a moment on the question of the virtue of foods being grown locally, which is kind of a rallying cry among large sectors of the organic foods movement. I mean, the argument there is that it's a lot better for the environment not to have to truck those foods from one end of the country to the other. I mean, for one thing, the fossil fuels that are used to do that are enormous. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, again, I mean, I think it really comes down to who is being advised to pay for this, okay? I mean, if you want to talk about wealthy Westsiders at the Santa Monica Farmers Market underwriting local produce, great. If you're, however, going to, you know, really use it as kind of a public policy and public health statement, then I think there are a whole range of things having to do with affordability of food. And the question is whether or not, indeed, a person should be discouraged, really, from eating cheap fruits and vegetables based on what you've just talked about, kind of the economic cost of transporting it. I think that, you know, then you get into a very much more fundamental debate about globalism and about trade. People have traded food since time immemorial. I mean, it's always been, I mean, that's why, you know, pepper from, you know, Ceylon costs so much money.
One thing I've noticed where I live is that the organic food stores certainly charge a lot more for produce than the ordinary supermarket. But we also have a huge farmer's market on Saturdays, and it has wonderful food there. And it's a lot of it is relatively cheap, and it's very fresh. Do you see anything wrong with that?
No, of course not. I mean, I do go. I know many of the farmers at my local farmer's market. I grow some of my own food. You know, I don't have any qualms with that. I guess what I am most concerned about is, let's look at the farmer's market, okay? What is cheap is what is in abundance. Am I correct?
Right.
And so we buy relatively inexpensive tomatoes for the summer months, but you know, we want them in February. We want them in January. I don't see anything fundamentally morally flawed with that. But someone like Alice Waters would tell you, yes, no, you're wrong. You're morally wrong to want to consume tomatoes in February because they're not in season, and you're going to end up buying tomatoes that were raised in Mexico in who knows what kind of toxic conditions and who knows what kind of environmentally deleterious ways, and therefore you shouldn't consume that tomato. And I think that goes a long way away from kind of most people have some common sense about food.
So you would prefer chefs to basically go back to the kitchen and just fix good, tasty food and forget about politics?
I don't care if they, I mean, obviously, man, this is the United States, so you can't shut anybody up. And that's what's wonderful about it in a way. But I would like to see the chef go back to the supermarket. I interviewed Alice Waters, who, by the way, I mean, I know that my essays were quite antagonistic towards her, but she and I got along quite well. But I asked her, when was the last time you were in a supermarket? And she looked at me like I was from, you know, Planet X. And I said, you know, she said, why would I ever go there? And I said, well, that's where most people go still, you know. And she says, well, I have no use for it. And I really repeated that question to a number of chefs I talked to. And I find that troubling. I'd like to see a time where we bring food back to what it really is about, which is nurturing.
Greg Kreitzer is a contributor to USA Today and the LA Times. He spoke with Steve Paulson.